Amen. Hey, do we have any hunters in the room? Is this weekend opening deer season?
Next
weekend. Okay. Well, I had to laugh. I think I've shared this with you last year. On the weekend of opening deer season, Pat Rose always plays as the deer pants before the water. And so I thought maybe this weekend was opening weekend of deer season, and you could see a deer panting by the water just before he becomes food. If you have your Bibles, open them up to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. We're back in 1 John this morning after taking a few weeks off. And our message this morning is entitled, How to Spot a Double Agent. Now, a double agent is someone who works for the government, works for one government, but reports to another government. So a double agent may work for the United States of America, but they may actually be stealing intelligence and giving it to the enemies of America. Let me introduce you to a man by the name of Robert Hansen. Robert Hansen, he looks like a good guy, doesn't he? Nobody said yes, so that must mean no. Yeah, Robert Hansen served our country as an FBI agent from 1976 to 2001. That's 25 years that he served our country. The problem is that for 16 of those years, Robert Hansen was a double agent. He worked for the FBI, but he reported to the KGB, to Russia. As an FBI agent, Hansen had access to highly classified, highly crucial information, highly classified national security information, and he sold that information to the Russians for millions of dollars in cash, diamonds, and other assets. All told, Hansen sold 6,000 documents to the Russians over the course of 16 years. Now, can you imagine loving money so much that it makes you hate your country that much, where you act as a double agent for 16 years? And can you imagine, how did he go 16 years without ever getting caught? You want to know how he finally got caught? I'll tell you the story. They found an audio recording. In fact, it was through a KGB double agent that they found this audio recording. And there was a very unique quote that Hansen said that I can't repeat here because it's incredibly vulgar, and don't go to your phones and Google it right now. You can do that later. It was an incredibly unique quote and a very vulgar quote. And when the guy who was listening heard that quote, he knew there was only one man who could say that thing. It was so unique and so vulgar that it stood out. And once he went to investigate, they ran an analysis and determined that it was, in fact, Hansen who was the double agent. In July 2001, Robert Hansen pled guilty to 13 counts of espionage, one count of attempted espionage, and one count of conspiracy to commit espionage, and was subsequently sentenced to 15 consecutive life sentences, rather, in prison. He died in prison in 2023, last year, from colon cancer. Now, what you need to know, church family, what you need to know is that there are leaders, there are pastors, there are those who claim to work for the King of Kings. There are those who claim to serve Jesus, but instead, they are, in fact, double agents working for the enemy instead. Now, I wish that wasn't true. I wish I could tell you that you could trust every pastor and every leader, but the sad reality is that you can not. And if you aren't careful, if you aren't able to discern who a double agent is and who is an authentic preacher of the word, then that double agent could possibly derail your entire faith. Now, when John wrote his letter, he wrote his letter to a specific church, and his point here was to guard the pulpit, to make sure that anyone who comes and stands before you passes these tests. Now, today, we have a different world than what John lived in. Obviously, we need to guard the pulpit. We need to guard this pulpit, meaning that if I or anyone else ever preaches anything aside from the fact that Jesus is Lord, if we ever say anything aside from Jesus is Lord, if we say Jesus is anything else but Savior and Lord, then you need to fire us. If I ever say that, you need to fire me immediately. But here's the thing. We are our influence, if you will. We're more influenced today than we've ever been. So it's not just the pulpit that we have to guard. You have to guard your heart because you have access to tens, if not hundreds of thousands of pastors, not just from Moberly, but from around the world via things like TikTok and Instagram and Facebook and YouTube. And if you aren't careful, you can be easily influenced in the wrong direction by a double agent. And so John here shows us this morning, in the entirety of 1 John chapter 4, he shows us two ways to spot a double agent. And that's what our sermon's going to be today, two ways to spot a double agent. With your Bibles open to 1 John 4, let me invite you to stand in honor of the reading of God's word as we read together 1 John chapter 4 in its entirety. God's word says this: "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see if they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming. Even now, it is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and you have conquered them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore, what they say is from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Anyone who knows God listens to us. Anyone who is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of deception." Verse 7, "Dear friends, let us love one another, because love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way: God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Love consists in this: not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we must also love one another. No one's ever seen God. If we love one another, God remains in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we remain in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and we testify that the Father has sent his Son as the world's Savior. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him and he in God. And we have come to know and to believe that the love that God has for us. God is love. And the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him. In this, love is made complete with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Instead, perfect love drives out fear, because fear involves punishment. So the one who fears is not complete in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, "I love God," and yet hates his brother or sister, he is a liar. For the person who does not love his brother and sister, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And we have this command from him: the one who loves God must also love his brother and sister. Pray with me. Father, thank you for your word, the goodness and richness of your word that we can't plunge today for sure. Lord, thank you for the book of 1 John and the way it's ministered to us. And Father, I pray you would help it to help us to understand the word this morning, to apply the word this morning. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to live out the word as we leave this place here in just a few minutes. Be glorified here today. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Two ways to spot a double agent. Number one, you can spot a double agent by paying close attention to their words. Now, it was the words of the FBI agent Robert Hansen that ultimately revealed his identity. And a double agent, one who pretends to be on Jesus' side but is really on the side of the world, they can be spotted by their words. Jesus tells us very plainly here, don't believe every person who steps into a pulpit. Don't believe every person who tells you that they have a message from the Lord. Or don't believe every pastor or TikTok or Instagram influencer who tells you that they are a pastor. You've got to instead give them a test. How many of you love taking tests in the room? Raise your hand if you love taking tests. Steve Metzger does. Is there anybody else? Okay, so y'all know who to give a test to now. Right? How many of you hate giving tests or hate taking tests? That's most of us. Yeah, that's most of us. Well, I got good news for you this morning. This morning, at least on the first point, you are called to give the test rather than take the test. You are the professor. You're the teacher. And you're called to give a test to see if the one in the pulpit passes the test. And it's a bare minimum test. This is like a one-question test. If they fail this test, then you can and you should instantly spot them as a double agent and cast them aside. And what's that bare minimum test you're called to give? Look in your Bible, verse 2 and 3. The Bible says this, this is how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that what? What's the word there? Confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you've heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You want to spot a double agent, church family? Here's how you do it. You ask them one basic question. Who is Jesus Christ? And listen, it's worth repeating. If anyone ever gets into this pulpit and tells you that Jesus isn't the only way to be saved, then you need to fire him immediately, including me. If anyone ever says anything like Jesus isn't the only way to be saved, that there are many ways to heaven, that Jesus really isn't Lord, that Jesus really isn't God, then you need to storm the pulpit, demand they stop, and fire them immediately. And the same goes with social media. If you're scrolling through on TikTok or Instagram or YouTube or Facebook and someone tells you that Jesus isn't the only way to be saved, fire them. You say, how do you fire somebody on social media? Scroll on past them. Don't give them any time. Keep on scrolling. Keep on going. They may be smooth talkers. Most double agents are smooth talkers. Robert Hansen got away with it for 16 years because he was a knowledgeable and smooth talker. But if they cannot answer that one simple question, who is Jesus Christ? Fire them. You want to know the answer? Can I give you the answer to the test? Can we cheat this morning? If you're the professor, I'm going to give you the answer so that you can make sure that when you give the test, that person can pass. Y'all ever cheat on your test? Anybody cheat on your test in high school? We got one honest person. The rest of us are not quite so sure. There is no record. Let me tell you, there is no record of me ever cheating in high school because Mr. Zeblin had no idea that I was cheating in high school. And I thought I was smooth. You know, you write on your arm and you act like you're really studying and you're trying to... Listen, here's the answer to the test. Are you ready? Here's the question. Who is Jesus? Let me give you the answer. Jesus is the eternal Son of God. He has always existed. There was never a time when he didn't exist. He has always existed. He will always exist. He was there when the world began. In fact, the Bible tells us that everything in the world was created through him and by him and for him. He is the eternal Son of God. He became man at the incarnation. That's important. Man did not become God. God became man. Jesus was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life, performing miracle after miracle after miracle, each one proving and demonstrating that he was who he claimed to be, God himself, God in the flesh. He lived a sinless life, and yet he died a sinner's death. And when he died, he proved that he was also man. And when he died on the cross, he paid the penalty of our sin, and he absorbed the wrath of God in our place. And after his death, he performed the single greatest miracle of all time, one that all of the world, the history of the world hinges upon this miracle. It is the greatest miracle of all time. After he died, he was buried in a tomb, but then he came back to life, resurrecting from the dead. And he didn't just come back to life and then disappear. He came back and appeared to many. And ultimately, weeks later, he ascended into heaven where he sits right now at the right hand of the Father. And one day, he's coming back to get us. And here's what Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. There is only one way to heaven. You can call me closed-minded. You can say I'm a bigot. Whatever you want to say, but I'm telling you, there is only one way to heaven. Amen. If you repent of your sins and trust in Christ, you will be saved. Yep. If you don't, there is no plan B. That's it. That's plan A. The only plan. There's no other way, no other road, no other religion. There is only and always Jesus. So if you want to know if someone is a double agent, you give them that test. What do you think about Jesus? Who is Jesus? And if they say, well, he was just a good teacher, emphasis on the word just. He was just a good teacher. He was just a moral man. He did great things, but he wasn't God. Or if they say all roads lead to heaven, all religions are the same. If there's a pastor who gives you that answer, don't follow them. Fire them. Because they are double agents. And you know they're double agents because you have paid attention to their words. Secondly, you can spot a double agent by paying attention to their actions. For Robert Hansen, he loved money more than he loved his country. And his actions of espionage were revealed. They were revealed that he was a double agent. His actions were revealed as they figured out who he was. And it was exposed that he was a double agent. And John tells us here that there are double agents in the church. And he says, give them a test. And the first test is one question. What do you think about Jesus? But the second test is different. It's an observation. How many school teachers do we have in the room? How many aspiring school teachers do we have in the room? Okay, here's what we know about school teachers. I had to confirm this morning with Greg. Before you become a teacher, you have to have someone observe you. You have to pass an observation. Someone had to come in and watch you do the job to make sure that you could do the job. The second test that John gives us here in 1 John 4 is an observational test. How do we know if someone really believes what they say about Jesus? Well, here it is. We know if they really believe what they say about Jesus if they act like Jesus. If they demonstrate their love for one another. That's what verse 7 and 8 says. Look in your Bibles. Verse 7 and 8. Dear friends, let us love one another because love is from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God because God is, finish it for me, love. John effectively says, if you want to know if someone is a follower of Christ, then you watch their lives. Because everyone who loves has been born of God. But the double agent does not love and is not born of God. So the question is, you're probably wondering, the question is, what is love? How do we define love? And here's what I want you to know. The Bible doesn't give us the option to define love. The Bible defines love for us. In fact, you can see that very clearly in verse 9. Say, what is love? I want to give you three pictures of love real quick. Number one, love is sacrificial. You want to see a picture of love? You look to the cross. That is the most beautiful picture of love you will ever see. And you understand that Jesus, fully God, he didn't have to do that. He didn't have to endure the cross. And yet he did. And the question is why? Why would he endure the pain and shame of the cross? Well, look in your Bible, verse 9. By the way, the plan of salvation was formed before time began. You need to know that. The plan for Jesus to come and die was formed before the foundations of the world. And why would he do that? Look at verse 9. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his one and only Son into the world, and my Bible says, so that. Do you see something like that in your Bible? That's the because. That God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Yes. Love consists in this, verse 10 says, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. So why did he endure? Why did he go to the cross? So that we might live through him. Can you see that sacrificial love? Jesus sacrificed by leaving the palace of heaven and trading it for the brokenness of earth. He left the streets of gold and traded them for dusty roads. He left a place with no pain and traded it for heartache and hardship. He left the glories of heaven and came here. He traded a place where death does not exist so that he could die on a cross. And he did it because of love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be an atoning sacrifice. Love is sacrificial. Number two, love is secure. Look at verse 17. The Bible says this, and this love is made complete with us so that we may have, what does your Bible say right there in verse 17? Huh? Boldness. Mine says confidence. Anybody got anything else in verse 17? In this love is made complete with us so that we may have confidence, boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also we are in this world. There is no fear in love. Instead, perfect love drives out fear because fear involves punishment. So the one who fears is not complete in love. Listen, you want to have security in the day of judgment? Then you give your life to Jesus. Repent of your sins and trust in him. You give your life to Jesus and then you live your life Amen. For Jesus. Amen. You act like a follower of Christ. And you love one another. Love is sacrificial, secure. Thirdly, love is stable. Listen, the double agent is one who is unstable. He says one thing and does another. Robert Hansen, the FBI agent, he said he would protect the Constitution, but his actions revealed something entirely different. The double agent is unstable and untrustworthy. Look at verse 20. If anyone says, "Oh, I love God," and yet hates his brother or sister, he is a, what's your Bible say? Liar. For the person who does not love his brother or sister whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. The double agent says one thing, I love God, he's my best friend. But then he hates his brother and sister. And it's his hatred for his brother and sister that proves him to be a liar. It was Robert Hansen's hatred for America that proved him to be a liar. But love is the exact opposite. Love is stable. Love is trustworthy. If we love God, one way to prove that we love God is to love one another. That's exactly what verse 27 says. And we have this command from him, We have this command from him, the one who loves God must also love his brother and sister. You can spot a double agent in two ways. Number one, pay close attention to their words. And number two, pay close attention to their actions. Here's the end of it. Double agents are bad news. Dishonorable. Spies are bad news. And I want you to know this morning with absolute certainty that you can spot a double agent. But most importantly, I want you to know with absolute certainty that you belong to the kingdom of God. I want you to know with absolute certainty this morning that you know, that you know, that you know that you are a soldier in the Lord's army. I want you to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you are heaven bound. And the only way to get to heaven, my friends, is to recognize that you've sinned. Repent of your sin and turn to Christ and be saved. We've shown you who Jesus is. We've shown you what Jesus did. We've shown you why it matters because he's the only way for you to get to heaven. Jesus paid the penalty of your sin. That's why he came. That's why he lived a sinless life. That's why he died a sinner's death so that you could be with him forever in eternity. And the Bible says this, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. That's the end of it. Plan A. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, you will be saved. Listen, I beg of you today, if you don't know Jesus, repent and believe. Repent and believe. And if you are a believer in Christ, then according to 1 John 4, you have at least two responsibilities. Your first responsibility is to guard the truth, to give your leaders the test. Ask them what they believe about Jesus and watch them to see if they love like Jesus. That's your first responsibility. And your second responsibility is to make sure that you believe the truth about Jesus. And you do that by confirming what you believe by loving one another. Look at how you live. Are you loving your brother and sister? Do you love like Jesus? Or are you being petty with a brother or sister in the Lord? Listen, I'm telling you, if you're not loving like Jesus, you need to start. Love selflessly, love sacrificially, and do all of that to the glory of God. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Pray with me. Father, thank you for your word, your good word. I pray, Father, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would convict those who need to be convicted, encourage those who need to be encouraged. And Father, I pray that you would save those who need to be saved. If there's someone in the room who does not know you, Lord, I pray that today you would move in their lives in such a way that it's undeniable. And Father, if there's someone in the room who needs to repent and begin living like you by loving their brother or sister, I pray you would convict them and help them to do that. Above all, Lord, we want to live our lives in a way that pleases you and honors you. And we thank you that we have the privilege and opportunity to do so. We love you and we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Let's stand together.
Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. Then Hamlet stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. A couple of quick announcements before we begin our veterans recognition. By the way, you can thank a veteran today because my sermon was way shorter because of the veteran. So that's one reason to thank a veteran. A couple of quick announcements. Number one, Operation Christmas Child. Those boxes are due back next Sunday. We'll deliver them to Carpenter Street. There's been some question about what do we do with the money for the shipping. Just put it in the box and we'll take care of it from there. We'll deliver that over to the drop-off station. So those are due next Sunday. Our visiting team, if you have any interest in working to minister to the homebound and widows, we would love to have you be a part of our visiting team. Mary Harris leads that. There will be a brief meeting. If you have any interest in that, it is a beautiful ministry. One of my favorite things to do. If you have any interest in that, plan to stay next Sunday right after church for about 30 minutes. And Mary's just going to share with you about the ministry, what it is, and how you can be a part of that crucial ministry. Our Thanksgiving meal is coming up in a couple of weeks. Sign up at the Welcome Center if you can help serve, and also if you're coming and what side dish you're going to bring. Our Advent devotions, if you signed up for that, we still have several spots left on the sign-up sheet. Please sign up for that if you'd like to write one. And those are due back again next Sunday if you wrote one. And then lastly, we need some help with the kitchen, cleanup kitchen, and serving meals on Wednesday nights for both November and December. So if you can do that, sign up at the Welcome Center. Are there any other announcements that I'm missing? Okay, very good. Well, last week, my friends, we looked at Romans chapter 13, and we learned that one of the roles of a Christian citizen is to pay honor to those who we owe honor. And this week, we're going to do what the Bible says by paying honor to those who we owe honor. And so, veterans, thank you. We are so very grateful to God for you. And I hope that over the next few minutes, you see that first, we give glory to God for where he's placed us and how he's called you to serve. And secondly, we thank you for the ways that you have sacrificed on our behalf. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to call your name. And when I do, I'm going to ask you to come forward. My only ask is that you don't block the Lord's Supper table, and you'll see why soon. So you can just kind of alternate next to one another. And when I call your name, when I do call their names, hold your applause. We're going to get to that, I promise. But we want to make sure that we go through this in order. So as you come up, Michael's got a folder for you. And once everyone gets up here, we will read what's in the folder for everyone in the congregation. So we're going to begin with our veterans who served in the United States Army, starting with Eric Fletcher, who served as an E-4 from 1990 to 1993. Harold Franklin, who served as an E-6 from 1968 to 1970. Wayne Harris, who served as a SPC-4 from 1966 to 1968. David Hargis, who served as a specialist fifth class from 1968 to 1969. And Michael, if you wouldn't mind, move that chair maybe a little closer. Annette Jennings, who is not here today, this is Nancy Wheeler's daughter, served as an E-7 from 1982 to 2007. John Mickey is also not here today. He is home, not feeling well. Served as an E-4 from 1960 to 69. And Paul Norris, who is also not here today, not feeling well today, served as a specialist fourth class from 1961 to 64. William Oliver served as E-2 in 1971. Carl Sanders served as a sergeant from 1966 to 68. Kevin Shattuck served as an SFC, Sergeant FC. Tell me what that means, Kevin. Special First Class?
Sergeant
First Class. From 1975 through 1996, also had some time in the Missouri National Guard. Yeah. Ryan Taylor served with the Missouri National Guard as a specialist between 2001 and 2005. And Jack White served as an E-5 between 1955 and 57 and 1961 and 63. Our U.S. Air Force veterans, Ron Gravett, served as a sergeant from 1980 to 2000. Jim Rolls, who is not here today, taking care of his wife, Pat, served as a sergeant from 1965 to 69. Larry Sane served as an E-5 from 1965 to 1972. And Daryl Sportsman served as a TSGT. Daryl, tell me what that means. Tech sergeant. Served as a tech sergeant from 1984 to 2005. Our United States Marine Corps, Lester Bosch, served as, Lester, is it a corporal? Is that correct? Commander, E3, from 1957 to 1960. And our United States Navy, Dan Taylor, served as an HM3 from 1966 to 1970. Now, I know communication can be difficult, and some of you may not even know that we were doing this today. We did our best to get everyone's name in the bulletin. But we do want you to know, if you're here and a veteran, we want you to be a part of this. And so if you're a veteran and we have not called your name, we would ask you to just come forward, please. I want to give you every opportunity to do that. Yes, come on forward. And tell me your name, sir.
Michael Davis.
Michael Davis. And you served in?
Air Force.
The Air Force. Excellent. Beautiful. From what years?
73 to 77.
73 to 77. Michael.
Sergeant.
And he was a sergeant. Yes, Curtis Peck has left today, but I gave him a folder. Anyone else? Okay, my friends, before me on the Lord's Supper table, you will see right here, and actually part of this, this is a Navy chaplain kit. You can see the elements of that before. Before me, two candles, there's a cross and a chalice and a tray for the communion bread. This is a very special Navy chaplain kit. For one, it's 80 years old this year. But can I tell you the story behind it? This Navy chaplain kit was given to Dr. Joseph Petty Grant, who served as pastor here at First Baptist Church Moberly between the years of 1941 and 1954. And again, he served a second term as pastor here between 61 and 74. In 1944, while pastor at First Baptist Church, Dr. Grant was called to military service and he left for chaplain duty. And he was commissioned as a lieutenant. 80 years ago this year, the congregation at First Baptist Church Moberly sent her pastor to serve as a World War II chaplain. And upon his departure, the membership at First Baptist Church presented this Navy chaplain kit that you see before you to Dr. Grant. So I mention that because, one, it's a really neat piece of history. But two, church family, we have always been a sending church. In this case, 80 years ago, we sent our pastor to be a chaplain, and he served in both seas and both oceans and six different seas. This kit would have traveled with Dr. Grant, and here's what I want you to know, that God has called men and women from our congregation to serve and to sacrifice in the military for decades. And we give glory to God that we're able to worship in a land that is free, in large part because of these brave men and women who sacrificed on our behalf. Gentlemen, inside your folder, you will find three things. One, there is a certificate from First Baptist Church, and it says, "We are grateful to God for your love for the Lord, service to His church, and sacrifice for our country." And then it says, Romans, it has your name and your branch. And then it says, "Honor those who are owed honor." Romans 13, 1 through 7. Secondly, there are two letters in your envelopes or in your folders. One is a letter to our church family written by our United States Representative Sam Graves, who represents the 6th District in Congress. That's written to our church, and the other is written to our veterans from Governor Mike Parsons. Let me read these letters to you very quickly. To our church, this is from Representative Sam Graves. He says, "Dear friends, as Americans, it is important to take time to remember, honor, and thank all who have served our country and sacrificed for our freedom. We owe them an incredible debt that can never be repaid. We do well to remember that on Veterans Day and every day. We are blessed to call these United States our home and share in their freedoms, share in the freedoms we enjoy with our families, friends, and loved ones. This is the land of the free because of generations of veterans who have served, sacrificed, fought, and died to protect our country, our freedom, and our families. Without them, none of this would be possible. North Missouri is home to over 40,000 veterans and active duty military personnel. Whether they're your neighbor, your family members, or your friends, we owe our veterans a debt of gratitude for leaving their families, serving our countries, and defending all that we hold dear. It is my honor to represent them in Congress as they defend our nation. Please take time to join with me in thanking all of our veterans for their selfless service and Sacrifice. That was written by Sam Graves to the members of First Baptist Church. Governor Mike Parsons has a message for our veterans. Greetings from the governor's office, he writes. On behalf of all Missourians, I write to thank you for your service to our state and our nation. While we can never repay you for the sacrifices you have made, the least we can do is recognize you for your commitment to our freedom. Today and every day, we thank our veterans who served selflessly in our armed forces. You have the gratitude of Missourians and an entire nation for your commitment to ensure opportunity for Americans, many of which you may never see or meet. As a veteran myself, serving our country instilled in me numerous valuable characteristics that I have carried with me throughout my life. I would not be the person I am today if it were not for my time in the U.S. Army. I will forever hold tremendous respect for every individual willing to serve our country in the armed forces. Once again, I want to sincerely thank you for your service to our state and our nation. We will never forget your commitment to our freedom. Church family, I want to ask you at this moment to show honor to those whom you owe honor by giving these men a standing round of applause. Gentlemen, on behalf of our church family, thank you all for your sacrifice and service. And Brent, pray for you, pray for our church family.
Just a quick word from the scripture relating this. Paul used examples of agriculture, athletics, and service, military service, in many of his letters and writings. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, he said, "Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life, so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier." I'm sure all of these men up here could relate to you answer to your master, who at that time is the military, someone with more rank than you have. As believers, we're to do the same. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the submission to authority, the service for God and country, and the sacrifice that these military people made for our behalf. We thank you for the sacrifice that your Son made on the cross, demonstrating your great love for us. Help us to submit to you, to serve you, and to live in a way that pleases you and brings you honor. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.